Hey, zero. Welcome to this edition of Inside the 610. I'm your host, Mike Fursetto, and in the studio today we have a boxing theme week. This is one of the best trainers in the Lehigh Valley for a long time. Today in the studio we have Mr. Paul Pinnock. How are you?
All right. How are you, Mike?
I'm good. Thanks for being here today. Boxing is something that's really growing in this area as of probably the last decade or so. It used to be very big back in the 60s, 70s in this area, 80s. We had a legendary heavyweight champion, Larry Holmes, just from Easton. Lehigh Valley has some good boxers and it's starting to come back. We have some main gyms in this area, and you have one of the few main gyms, Lehigh Valley Pound for Pound. Let's talk about that.
Lehigh Valley Pound for Pound Boxing is a program that was originally started to help the more at-risk kids, give them something to do after school. Sort of like an after-school program, but it was focused on boxing as the tool that we use to help these kids find something to do with themselves after school. So they, you know, an old saying that my mom used to say is idle hands are a devil's tool. Mm. So we try to keep the kids busy. We, you know, give them a place that they can believe in, something that they can believe in, which would be the sport of boxing, and someone who believes in them. So we were, you know, we founded our gym on these principles that if we give the youth something to believe in, that, you know, that they can accomplish things that they never thought that they could accomplish.
Hmm. And how long have you been doing this?
It's 15 years now. So I've seen a lot of kids come and go.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, so how many kids have you seen over those 15 years? And what are some of the best stories that you have?
It's countless, the amount of kids. But what I tend to do is, when I see new kids come into the gym, I'll inquire, were you an athlete? Did you play sports? Did you do this? And they come in all different shapes and sizes. Some of them severely overweight. Some of them in great shape. But what I always tended to do was not look at who they are when they come into the gym, but what they can be if they stick to the program, if they stick to it, you know, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. That's where I've seen tremendous changes and growth in certain people. So it's really sticking to it and having the proper expectations. Then you can accomplish anything that you want in life, because there's nothing harder than boxing. So if you could do it in boxing, then you can do it in anything in life.
Gotcha, yeah. When it comes to boxing, I always hear kids wanting to try out boxing. When these kids come into your gym, can you tell early on if boxing is going to be something that they're going to stick with, or do you know pretty soon that they're going to be one of these kids that come in for one or two sessions or 1 or 2 months and then quit?
You know, Mike, that's an excellent question, because there's really no way to tell. Like, okay, Sometimes you get a kid that comes in and you're like, wow, this is the next Manny Pacquiao. And, you know, he comes in, he has a hard sparring, and, you know, he's done. He's gone. You know, he comes in. And then you got the kid that's overweight, you know, just wants to lose weight, but just stays consistent. Time goes by, and then the next thing you know, the guy's, you know, lost 60, 70 pounds, and now he's, you know, he's in shape, and now he's winning fights and winning titles, and his life is completely different. But I would never have guessed that. So how I deal with that is I temper their expectations. I say, hey, look, it's like if you want to be a bodybuilder, you can't come in 1 and 2 weeks and train 6 hours a day for 2 weeks. And it's consistency over a period of time. So I tell them, look, when you first start, I don't need to see you here 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, running on the weekends immediately. I need to see you here 2-3 days a week. Then when July 4th comes around, you're still showing up. And then when, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving comes, you're still showing up. When New Year's Eve comes, when next year comes, you're still showing up. And then as you go through the process, you'll increase your days. Instead of coming two days, 3 days consistently over that time, then you're coming 4 days, 5 days. So that's the process. So I have them have those expectations.
Gotcha. So in your gym, are these amateurs or do they turn pro? Do you have any professional fighters? Do you have any Golden Glove winners or champions?
I've had you know, professionals, nationally ranked amateurs. I've coached in probably over 30 plus national championships. We've had silver medalists, national champions. So we go to compete.
So you got elite.
Have elite in the country, boxers. We compete with the very, very best.
So what's next for boxing for Lehigh Valley pound for pound, or even just boxing in general in the Lehigh Valley? What's your vision for it?
Well, eventually, you know, the kids that are mature in the program are going to turn pro, but it's really to just continue to build the next talent, the new kids. It's kind of like, say, any college had a dynasty, you know, Mike Krzyzewski, they bring in, you're always bringing in the next group.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our goal is to bring the next level of guys coming up. And then as they grow older, we bring the next level of guys and run them through the program. And the next level, and then once they graduate, then they can go professional.
So in the last 15 years that you've been doing this, do you see a gradual increase in the amount of kids that come in next and the level that they get to? Do you see it increasing? Is it getting better, or is it still like you got to try to find that one diamond in the rough?
No. It's there because the work speaks for itself. These kids are coming to the gym saying, I want to be like, you know, so-and-so. I seen so-and-so on the, can I use names?
Of course.
Some of the kids, they see the guys like Julian Lopez, winning, being ranked number 9 in the country, Leon Gonzalez, running his own clothing line, I mean, doing tremendous things, excelling in everything that he does. I don't do any advertising. The kids' work and the social media that they see does it all for us. So I get people coming in all the time because they know the kids. You know, they say, I saw him, I saw her, or whatever. And that's how we get a lot of the kids. And it's the better that the kids do, the more new kids want to come. And want to try, you know.
You know what? You said something that really hit home with me when you said you mentioned some names, Julian and Leon, and you said that he's excelling in everything he does. Do you see that a lot, like mental health wise, coming into the gym, where there's some kids that, like you said earlier, might be at risk, but then once they get involved in the boxing program, that they get better in all aspects of life. School becomes better. Maybe they get out of trouble. Maybe they get a consistent job, things like that. Is that a normal thing that you see progress with kids coming into your gym?
Yes. Oh, that definitely. I believe that the discipline, they don't want to lose boxing, so they follow the rules. They work jobs. They go to school. You know, every single one of the kids that competes is responsible. And the fact that they have to take care of themselves and be adults. I've explained to them, most of them start around 12, 13, 14. And I explain to the kids very clearly how life is. When they're at this age, they don't have to have the responsibility of paying rent and providing their own food. You know, that's on the responsibility of their parents. But I tell them once they turn 18, the world becomes a different place. It's much colder. It's much harder. You're entering into the real world. So they look back and say, Coach, you were right. You know, I got to go to work. I got to pay my rent. I got to do, you know, I can't make it to the gym today. My car broke down. This, you know, they get hit with the worldly problems. So one of the reasons I like that at certain ages, these kids, they're too young. They haven't hit that age where the real America hits them.
Yeah.
They're living in the in America. Up until 18, you get a free ride. You know, you wear shoes you didn't sew. You live in a house you didn't build a roof. You drink water you never did a well. You eat food you never grew, you know. So I explained to them, I said, you're getting a free education. And you guys are blowing it. You know, this is your opportunity now, because once you turn 18, your rent's due. You got to buy your own shoes. You got to, you know what I'm saying? I explained to them those things. So they a lot of times they don't hear it, you know,
yeah,
what I'm telling them.
That's a tough age to understand that.
Yeah, no, but now that they're 18, 19, damn, Coach, you know, you were right, you know.
Do you ever see kids come in at an early age like that, the teenage years, and then when life hits them, 18, 19, 20, that they leave the gym, but then later on in their 20s they come back?
I haven't really. I mean, usually they'll try a comeback. I've seen a lot of attempted comebacks. But once you get out of the routine of boxing, it's so intense, it's hard to get that back.
Mm.
But they take that on in other areas. Like they take on the sacrifices that you have to make, the competitiveness. So like if they have to end up working as a regular, you know, in a factory or something somewhere, they're that best factory worker's job, you know. They're good at that,
yeah.
You know, because you know they understand, you know, hard work.
So the boxing arena in this area, it seems like it's kind of underground. In the nonprofit world, I know your gym is a 501c3. It doesn't have much not much like media coverage behind it and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of people in the community that don't know that there's really solid boxing gyms in this area. What do you think is needed in the community to help your gym out and help out the entire boxing community?
We have had some coverage. Keith Groller, The Morning Call, WFMZ, Roberto Vincent has been good. It's just something I think in the nature of boxing that people just kind of shy away from, you know. It's an inner city sport, so it doesn't get support from, like, the school districts and, you know, things like that. They don't want any boxing programs. And I find it ironic because the military academy, if you want to get into the military academy, Annapolis, the naval, Annapolis, they require boxing, no matter who you are. They make it part of their program because of what it builds, the character that it builds, the courage that it builds, the confidence that it builds. But so that's why I think it's kind of weird that they say, no, we're shy to this. But mm-hmm. The people that protect our country are required to do it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
good point.
You know?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people out there that might be interested in joining a boxing program like this, where it's not like fitness boxing. You could use it for that too, but really the skills and strategy of boxing, the sport of boxing. If people wanted to find you, where could they find you at?
Well, probably Facebook. Valley Pound for Pound Facebook, okay. Or you could, you know, look up my Facebook, Paul Pinnock, PINNOCK. That's about it.
Any last words for the listeners or for the boxing community in the Lehigh Valley? Any last words from you, Coach?
Just tune in. It's going to be one hell of a ride.
Gotcha. Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
WDIY has been broadcasting in the Lehigh Valley and beyond for 30 years, providing news.
These planes were hijacked.
The Bethlehem Steel Corporation will end its steelmaking production in Bethlehem.
We hope that you enjoyed hearing from the Dalai Lama.
Local public affairs.
As I say, it's a race of interest.
What we're experiencing today will later on be studied.
And music.
My name is Janice Ian.
Our guest, Lake Street Dive.
In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Petey Yarrow from Peter, Paul & Mary.
WDIY, since 1995.
Welcome back to Inside the 610. I'm your host, Mike Frasetto, and in the studio now, we have Dave Hamilton from Showstoppers Boxing Gym. How are you, Dave?
I'm taking it easy. Can't complain.
Awesome. Always laid back.
Yes.
Gotcha. You know what? So we earlier today, we just had Paul Pinnock in the studio from Lehigh Valley Pound for Pound. We got to talk about boxing, his strategy, his how he changes some of the young people's lives in the Lehigh Valley. He spoke good about you and Showstoppers and said you guys are doing some good work, too. Let's talk about Showstoppers Boxing Gym. How long ago did you start it, and how's the ride been so far?
Oh, Showstoppers, man. Let me start off by saying it was a dream come true, you know. Growing up in inner city of Philadelphia, boxing was like that barbarian sport where, you know what I mean, we pretty much, you know, without even gloves, using slap boxing, you know what I mean? Just, you know, having each other to have competition and see who could, outdo each other, you know, can touch each other. And, you know, me, you know, falling prey to my environment in the inner city, getting locked up, I discovered boxing, you know, to a point where, you know, it could be competitive, you know what I mean? Something gives you an opportunity to give you a way of life. And, you know, looking at David Reed, which was an Olympian, Bernard Hopkins, these were locals that pretty much inspired me to, you know, give it a shot. And I was SCI Huntington, State Correctional Institution champion, came home and decided to keep the ball bouncing. You follow me? So Showstoppers was the name of my gym that I trained at and incarcerated.
Oh, okay.
And that's where I got that name from. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what, let me just bring that on home and don't stop it. You know what I mean? And it started with a yoga mat and a dream, man. I was in a parking lot, you know what I mean? And from a parking lot, I went to a room. From a room, I went to a gym where I just was renting out space for, you know what I mean, a couple hours in the day. You know what I'm saying? Didn't have a bunch of people. And, you know, before you know it, I had two people. You know what I mean? Then it became three, four, five, six. And then instead of having it for a couple hours, I had the gym for a day. You know what I mean? Then I had it 2 days. Then I had it 3 days. And it's crazy because I remember the gentleman that I was renting the space from, he kept seeing me grow. He kept seeing me grow. So he offered more days, you know what I mean? He offered more time, you know, because I was in somebody else's facility, pretty much like a sublease type of thing. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, I was there. It was 2 years. It was 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And, you know, I continued to grow, you know what I mean? And the vision that I had as far as, you know, become taking kids from the inner city and putting them in a situation where someone can care for them. You know what I mean? Someone can show them love. Someone can pretty much put them in position to be something in life. You know what I mean? And I had a son, you know what I mean? And, you know, he was 5 years old and he was right there, you know, and before you know it, we was climbing a ladder, man. You know what I mean? Starting with just regular amateur shows. Then we went to state championships. Then we went to national championships. You know what I mean? Yeah. And we kept achieving the goals.
You know what? A common thing that I see a lot when people have this beautiful story of a climb, mm-hmm. you know, from the bottom and then a yes. Beautiful incline all the way, you know, to a vision that you had maybe 15 years, 10 years ago,
yes.
20 years ago.
Yes.
A commonality is that there's always people along the way that believe in you.
Yes.
Just like that guy who rented you the extra space.
Yes.
Just like the first three, four people that came into your gym, they they knew that you believed in them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now your son, and your son's 15 years old, yes. And he's a great boxer.
Oh man,
yeah. He knows that you believe in him.
Yes, absolutely. You know what I mean? And sometimes you have to reinforce it because, you know, personalities change. You know what I mean? You can, you know, what made you good at 10 years old, 11 years old is not going to be the same thing they make you good when you're 15 years old. So you have to keep chopping at the tree. You know what I mean? I call it chopping and chopping and chopping until the tree fall down. Mm-hmm. And I continue to make these goals, you know what I mean, come into fruition because I believe that we're still scratching the surface to greatness. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. So when somebody comes into your gym, what as the coach, as a trainer, what do you look for and what do you try to get them to realize, especially if they're trying to get into the sport of boxing and kind of move up the ranks? What do you try to instill in them to become great at the sport?
Well, what we do, we start off with their goals. What is your goal? Coming into Showstoppers Boxing, you know, are you looking to get in shape, lose a couple pounds, compete competitively, you know, are you looking to, you know what I mean, just, you know, learn some defense, you know what I mean, hand-eye coordination, something that's going, you know, something that brings them there. My goal is to let them know that it's obtainable, you follow me, and, you know, we don't set goals too high. We pretty much put them in, you know what I mean? We put them in stages where they can be accomplished, you know what I mean? And then once you accomplish one goal, you set another goal. And with that being said, you know what I mean? We trying to, you know, accomplish the ultimate goal, you know what I mean? And that's to bring a world champion. From the Lehigh Valley, you know? And I believe it's possible.
I was going to say, how possible do you think it is?
Oh, man, we're scratching the surface.
Yeah, we're close. You think we're close in this
absolutely.
Area?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. You know what I mean? You got to think of, well, I, being here for so long, been here for over 20 years now, boxing kind of died down for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? After the Larry Holmes era. Yeah. It kind of like died down. And I remember because I was going to Pacific gyms throughout the Lehigh Valley and it wasn't none. You know what I mean? It didn't have any, you know? And with that being said, I was like, you have one that's, you know what I mean? That died down and you know what I mean? It went away. You know what I mean? With Louis Melendez and you know what I mean? The guys that pretty much was here before I got here. So I kind of like tried to bring that spirit back. And with me, Indio, Paul, that's exactly what we did.
So you mentioned those three. Paul, we had in the studio earlier today. Mm-hmm. You at Showstoppers and Indio. Are those the three main gyms in the Lehigh Valley that you think are scratching the surface of coming together and making a next world champ?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I mean? We have, you know, Indio has some, you know, these guys are being on, you know, pay-per-view. They've been on ESPN. You know what I'm saying? Like right there at that notch where it's almost obtainable, you know? Very close.
What do you think is needed? What do you think is needed to take that step up, to get right there, scratching the surface, and then breakthrough to a world champ? Is it a certain kid you're looking for, a certain person, a certain personality, a different training technique, support from the community? What needs to happen to create a world?
It's a combination of all of it. You know what I mean? And it starts with the individual. It's a combination of it all because something I've learned that, you know, as a team, you become more better than just a single person. You follow me? You need a team. And something I know about world champions, and I've been in, you know, camps with Bernard Hopkins. You know what I mean? These guys have teams. So they pretty much have somebody from carrying the water to holding the mitts. You know what I mean? Or to giving that old school knowledge that's needed to be able to, you know what I mean, cross that line.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's a team.
Physical trainer, dietitian, all of that.
All of that. Major. It's very major.
Is that something that's lacking here in the Lehigh Valley? Or?
Yeah. Well, we don't have, we have it, but it's not like, you know, first of all, it's expensive. You know what I mean? To be a world champion, you have to train like a world champion. These guys that's world champions, they ain't got 9-to-5s. You know what I'm saying? They're not in position to, you know what I mean? They can focus on training all day, every day. You know what I mean? And anything you do enough of it, you're going to get good at it. So you have to put the time in. You know what I'm saying? And, you know.
That's interesting you say that because Paul from Lehigh Valley Pound for Pound, he said the same thing, that once they hit, he likes the teenage years, and then once they hit 18, 19, 20, and life hits, and they start getting bills, and they got to get a job.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real. That's exactly what he said.
It's real, man. It's real. And that's where it kind of like, you know what I mean, breaks the spirit a little bit. You follow me? You know, they got these ways now where it's like luck. You know what I mean? Like you need that luck to just draw, you know what I'm saying? And in order to be able to get that, you got to still stay consistent. You know what I mean? And it's hard to stay consistent when, you know what I mean, you have a baby, you got to pay the bills, you got the rent that needs to be paid, you know what I mean? You got car note need to be paid, you need transportation to be able to, you know what I mean, get and go and come as you please. You follow me?
Yeah. Well, hopefully this story helps with getting support in the community, maybe even some corporate donations to help out these gyms, because I know the work that you guys do, and you guys help dozens of young people in the city, kind of give them a clear direction on life, kind of give them some guidance, especially when they could be going the wrong direction.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we do, man. We try to kind of like, you know, give them a way out. You follow me? Yeah. A way out, which, you know, it's needed.
Yeah. You know what? You mentioned earlier that you were formerly incarcerated. Yeah. You mentioned two times already on this show, one of my all-time favorite boxers to watch, Bernard Hopkins.
Yes.
Became the oldest ever world champion. Light heavyweight he was. He was a 49 years old when he won that.
Absolutely.
A lot of people with his style say that, oh, he had boring fights and stuff like that. But I loved watching him fight, man. Because no matter what ring, no matter who opponent, what opponent he had in the ring against him, he controlled the tempo. He was like, talk about ring generalship.
Yes.
He was the master.
Oh, man.
He was at the master.
Oh, man. I mean, I have firsthand contact. I mean, I was his sparring partner when he fought Jermaine Taylor.
And those were tough fights for him.
Know what I mean? That was a tough fight for him, and they looked at me because I was a little heavier. You know what I mean? That I was like the perfect sparring partner for him. And I was running around the city beating everybody up. You know what I mean? And that's when I knew the levels. You know, I went to Bowie Fisher, which was his trainer at the time before Nazem. And I said, Bowie, what am I doing wrong? He said, Dave, he's the best in the world. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, it had to register to me, because when I say I was going from gym to gym, touching up everybody, it was like easy to me. You know what I mean? And then getting in there with this guy that's the best in the world, that's when I knew the levels. You follow what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Here it is. I'm thinking I'm good. No, actually, I knew I was good. But this dude was touching on me, you know what I mean, to the point where I didn't realize how he was doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tight. I got my hands up. I'm sharp. I'm on point. I'm strong as an ox. And he got me seeing stars, literally. You follow me? I had to grab him. You know what I mean? I had to grab and hold on to him. Like, yo, like, is this really happening? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and that's when I realized, you know what I mean? And then he respected me so much because, first of all, usually when you get beat up, you think twice to get back in there. Mm-hmm. And my thing was, oh, I got to get back in there. We're not just going to let him do me like this. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it was pretty much something. And I'll never forget that. You know, I came back the next day and they was like, oh, you back? I'm like, absolutely, I'm back. You know what I mean? We're not doing that. So I went home and I realized, you know, because I evaluated from my trainer. He always told me that, you know, if you find yourself falling short, think about the reason why you're falling short. And what he would do was, Bernard would smother me. He would get so close, you follow me, where I'm no more good. Like I have my power, everything is done. And he would work, you know what I mean? Work. From that close. Mm. So, you know, I was always told that when somebody's getting in, you got to figure out a way to stop them from getting in. So what I did, I had to bend my knees a little more. You follow me? And then when he went low to get in, I had to fight for my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking
Don't
about,
come in here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm throwing with all my might, all I can. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're not coming in. And then he couldn't get in.
Gotcha.
So I was able to survive a little longer. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You figured it out a little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And then he also put me to my limit in 2 rounds. You follow what I'm saying? Where I literally can't breathe.
Oh, he worked you that hard?
Yes. Two, three rounds. Yeah. Like, I feel like I've been in there 10 rounds.
Wow.
You follow what I'm saying? That's the level that he wasn't playing. He don't play.
Wow.
You know, he was the type of person that he didn't want. You couldn't put a peppermint in the camp. Like, who bean pie? You know, we driving down to Philly. My coach pick up a bean pie in the middle of the street. You know what I mean? He see it in camp. He said, who bean pie? He take the bean pie, throw it against the wall like strict. He drinks water for breakfast. Yeah. He eats fish for breakfast. Like his diet, like, you know.
I heard it was spot on. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Legendary,
Yeah, legendary. Didn't play
That's why he was able to box the 50.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that incredible story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, man. That's one of my, realness, bro.
I never heard that one before.
Yeah, that's serious.
Hey, if there's anybody here listening that wants to get in contact with you, maybe even wants to start training for boxing, how can they get in contact with you?
You can look us up through Showstoppers Boxing Gym for Facebook. And also, I got a phone number for Showstoppers. It's 484-478-4541. I repeat, 484-478-4541.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for sharing that story. Thanks for being here in the studio.
No doubt.
Man, good luck.
I appreciate it. Yeah. 100%.
Thanks for listening to Inside the 610 today. It was a super fun episode. I'm a lifelong boxing fan, and to have Paul and Dave here in the studio, it was just a great conversation to have. I hope you guys can listen in next time on Inside the 610.